ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of f***ing in the club tonight. What? What? But it's gonna be alright. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause me and my clique, we don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck. Hugging Trick Daddy. Give God the day.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, final hour of the show. Nick, Barry, Joel, FEF Friday, and it's a good Friday, and it is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Are you going to hunt eggs with the kid on Sunday?
She did yesterday at school. So did you guys tell you that? That was the craziest thing. You know, Lisa doesn't tell me anything, right? I'm just the dad that takes care of the kid and gets her to school and drops her off, right? I walk in, and I literally walk her to her classroom every day. And I walk in, and the teacher's giving me this look like, what are you doing? Did you forget something? And I'm like, what? She goes, do you have Taylor's Easter basket? I go, her what? She's like, yeah, in about an hour, we're going to do an Easter egg hunt. We can just use a Randall's plastic bag for her. And I'm like,
oh,
there's the gut punch. I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. And I'm like, okay, I live 5 minutes away. I'll be back. And I'm like, thanks, Lisa, for not telling me anything. So I go home. The only basket we got, you could fit Taylor in. And I'm like, that's not going to work. I can just see her dragging this thing down the hallway or whatever. So I look around, and I kid you not, on her changing table, there we have this metal bucket, but it's like all pastel colors, and it's all you know pretty, and it looks Eastery. I just dumped all the ointment and everything out of it, and I brought it to school. And she goes, oh, this is perfect. A lot of kids have something similar. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm glad.
But schools are so screwed up these days.
They are.
They have rules. So first of all, her school, there's no peanuts allowed. No nuts.
Right.
But then they wanted you to donate things for the Easter egg hunt, but they didn't want you to bring chocolate or candy. Well, what the hell else is there?
Yeah. Now you're just ruining Easter.
Chalk? They did chalk so the kids can draw on the sidewalk? Screw that. I don't want to draw on the sidewalk. I want to eat chocolate.
Everybody bring bottles of water, the little ones that we can hide.
Yeah, what? It's just too much.
Well, it's also April Fool's Day, and I found some April Fool's tricks. Are you a big prankster? Did you do April Fool's tricks?
I've told you in the past I used to do it every now and then, but not like I used to dread April 1st because I knew everybody was going to be pulling crap all day.
Nick, you? Big prankster guy?
Occasionally, not a big prankster.
You gonna do anything like prank anybody on April Fool's?
I used to do it to my brother when we were kids, but that's about it.
Okay. So I found some of these. This was on themirror.co.uk. Mm-hmm. A couple of these are pretty good. I could probably get my wife with some, so I might do this.
Okay.
So the first one they have is you take Oreo cookies, you scrape the cream off, and you replace it with toothpaste.
Oh,
that's wrong.
That's cold-blooded. And then they said take it to work and be like, hey, guys, I brought Oreo cookies for everybody. I would be suspect of eating anything anyone brought me on April 1st. But then they say, so I might do this because lately they opened a Shipley's Donuts right in front of the neighborhood. So I've been going to Shipley's and getting donuts every morning.
Okay.
So they said take custard-filled donuts, remove the custard, and put mayonnaise in there.
Ugh.
And she hates mayonnaise. So I'm pretty sure that one or both of these are going to happen in the Laminack house on Sunday.
Go ahead and eliminate your opportunities to have sex for the next month.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
That would be a no-go.
Another one is they showed one. So you know on a door they have the stoppers, like that little stopper on the wall over there, Joel? That's the little rubber stoppers, right? Yeah. And they're screwed to the door.
Yep.
So somebody took some duct tape and an air horn with the trigger on top where you just push down and it makes the air horn make the loud noise. And they duct taped it to that stopper. So usually people open the door, they open it almost all the way. So when you open it, it's going to make the air horn go off.
That's a good one.
Now that I might have to do.
That literally could scare the crap out of someone.
Yeah, I was going
to. That's happened to me. My brother and my sister and my ex. No, I didn't crap myself. I was in bed too. So thankfully I didn't. But on my birthday, they just barged in my room and they hit me with the air horn.
Did it scare you?
Oh my God. I have video of it. It is bad. Like I'm like moving from side to side.
You got airborne? I probably would have gotten airborne. Yeah, if I was sleeping and someone got me, I might have gotten
It looks ridiculously airborne. Funny.
We got to see that video.
No, I'm not
going to publish that. That needs to be tweeted out.
Okay. Yeah, now that we know that there's video evidence, bring it in.
Nope.
So keyboards are pretty easy to take apart. I don't know if you guys know that, but you can pop the keys off pretty easily and then put them back. It's not that big of a deal. On a key, not on a laptop. Don't do it on your laptop, Joel. But on a regular keyboard, yeah, you just pop a key off, pop it back on. Somebody suggested that you go out and you find seeds, like little seeds, and you pop the keys off and you just dampen the seeds, put the keys back on, and pretty soon they'll grow weeds in their keyboard.
It's like a chia pet. They have a picture of,
yeah, they just take these little seeds and do that. That's pretty good. And then somebody said, just take your phone and put it on a repetitive sound and hide it somewhere where nobody can find it. And they're just like, remember the Office episode where they put the phone in the ceiling? Did you ever watch The Office, Nick?
A little bit, but I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. And then the last one was just to mess with somebody's mouse at work, just like tape the laser. They won't know that. Put a little piece of clear tape or something like that.
The phone thing, if you get the right ringer, like if I got Lisa's ringer and just put that somewhere in the house where it just kept making noise, oh my God, would that work?
Would it?
She'd be tearing, she'd be throwing, like she'd turn over a chair. That stuff, when she can't find her phone, you'd think that the world was coming to an end.
That would piss me off.
Oh, she gets so mad.
One of the things we did at when I used to work at Cisco, one of the things we did is we moved a guy from one floor to the other while he was on vacation. We just packed up his entire cube, and we had nothing to do. We were bored, so we packed up this dude's cube. We always pranked this guy. He hated it. He hated because one time he fell asleep at his desk, and I took pictures of him and emailed him out to people and put them all over the place. But yeah, one time we moved him up a floor. We just took all his stuff and put it in an empty cube on the next floor. And then one time, you know those big file cabinets?
Yeah.
They're real tall.
Yeah.
Well, we worked at a cube environment, so the openings on the cube aren't that big, so we just pushed a file cabinet in front of it. And he didn't know where it was. He was like, what happened to my cube? Is this just a wall now?
Nick, you know what this tells us is.
Huh.
He was an a-hole even when he wasn't in radio.
That I'm being nice to you guys,
even
right?
In corporate America, you were an a-hole.
All right. I just figured I was being nice, but it's on now.
Okay. Well, no. It's never been off.
Does Monday count as April Fool's Day?
I asked 500 Crawford.
Don't worry, guys. I'm bringing donuts on Monday. So
I'm not going to have any part of your donuts.
Okay, mailman.
All right, come join us at Tastemakers April 4th at Silver Street Studios. They'll have amazing cuisine on hand for you to eat. I think something like 15 or 20 restaurants. Some of the top restaurants, all with an open bar. That's right. Your $55 ticket, if you buy early. If you don't, it's going to be $65 at the door. But for $55, if you get them online, open bar, 15 restaurants, you can get your drink on, you can get your eat on. There's Bun B is the MC. It's going to be an outstanding time. To get those $55 tickets, log on to culturemap.com/tastemakers. That's culturemap.com/tastemakers. Log on, get your tickets, because like I said, if you don't, there's $65 at the door. You're going to want to get that food, get that open bar. Get out there, have a good time at Silver Street Studios, April 4th. It's culturemap.com/tastemakers.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Knee-deep final half hour of the show or more, final hour of the show. Boy, if you're the Detroit Tigers and you have Liriano and Mike Fiers on your pitching staff.
You had a bad offseason.
Yeesh.
Bad offseason. A couple news and notes from yesterday's opening day.
Yes.
Ichiro back in Seattle. You talk about a dude that it didn't age well. I tweeted it out. Ichiro has a 65-year-old man's face on like a 15-year-old boy's body. Like it doesn't. His face doesn't match the rest of him.
But he can still run. A little bit. I'll tell you what was cool, though. They did the intros for the Mariners last night. Did you see that?
Red carpet?
With the red carpet from, like, the corner.
Yeah.
But out in the outfield wall, and they had, like, the strobe lights and everything. And I'm like, that's, like, NBA
they
kind of stuff.
They love that dude, man. Oh. That would have been, like, Olajuwon coming back from Toronto for just one more season. And just, yeah, they love that dude up in Seattle. Ohtani got his first hit.
Yeah.
In his first at bat. I think it was the first pitch he saw.
Better, because I don't know what a pitcher he's going to be.
Yeah, but first hit and the first pitch he saw, Rizzo got a standing ovation, goes deep. After you mentioned yesterday that he was back in Florida.
He went to Douglas High School where the shootings happened.
And he said it was pretty emotional for him. So it was, he said he on his trot, he normally doesn't take his time, but he wanted to enjoy that moment and it was special for him. So that was pretty cool. Blue Jays, Troy Tulowitzki, out at least 2 months.
That's a tough blow. That guy can
Blue Jays, I mentioned it in the preview, but I have a feeling in about a month and a half they'll start looking towards beginning their rebuild this
year.
Look for Donaldson to be gone, look for Happ and Stroman. These guys might all be names as you see on the trading blocks come July. And then there's the kid in Washington, or not Washington, in Chicago, the White Sox. Matt Davidson.
Three bombs.
Three home runs in the opener. Ridiculous.
What was his
final line? I got to pull up the box score, but it was crazy.
Two solo jobs to start with, and then he finished with like a three-run bomb because you were thinking the RBI totals might be huge too, but I think the RBI totals were something like five. But still, three bombs opening day.
And the White Sox go for 14. Now, I said I think that they were going to have some – they were going to be exciting and fun to watch, but that they're still a couple years away, but – I wasn't thinking they'd go out and score 14 runs at any point this year, but they've got some young kids that can hit. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, Davidson's final line, four at bats, three hits, four runs, five RBIs, drew a walk, saw 21 pitches, which is a decent amount in a game.
Yeah.
And hit the three home runs. So that's cool.
I've noticed the new stat that I think that you're going to be paying attention to that I've really.
Outs above average?
No, just pitches. Okay. The amount of pitches seen.
Pitches seen?
Yeah.
Well, it's something. There's several stats now. Here, I noticed something last night watching baseball. Check this out next time you're watching, especially on an ESPN broadcast. Is this on ESPN, Nick, this TV here in the studio, or is that MLB Network? Or what is this? TNT? What the hell is this? Okay. Anyways, when you're watching an ESPN broadcast, check it out now. What they do, they lead with OPS. That used to be a thing that was talked about, but never really a stat that was given when you looked at a stat line during a broadcast. You saw average, home runs, RBIs. Sometimes you would see runs. But you never saw OPS. ESPN is now leading when they show a player at bat. They lead with, it goes OPS, average, home runs, and RBIs. I think that's a stat you're going to see now that people, and you should. It makes more sense when you're looking at the value of a hitter, when you look at their OPS over anything else. But now we're kind of evolving into seeing that as the lead stat for batters.
I think Kevin Durant will be looking for it.
You think so?
He's the big analytics guy now.
Is he?
You heard about all that?
I did hear about him doing the scoreboard and stuff.
No, he just blew up at anybody that believes in analytics going, bro, just like at the media the other night. This is before he blew up last night and got thrown out. But he blew up and said, you know what, bro, it comes down to, you know, who can make baskets and who can make plays. Don't give me this about, you know, all this and that and breaking out these numbers. And he just went, he's a different dude, man. He got thrown out again last night. Would you, in any way, shape, or form, would you have put him at the top of the list if I told you, who's the guy that's been ejected from the most games, tied for the most times ejected by a player in a season in the last 10 years in the NBA?
Nope.
He got thrown out last night. He just tied Larry Sanders for the player being ejected the most in a season in the NBA. He's been thrown out five times this year. He's two techs away from a suspension, which
is not good.
How many
times had he been tossed prior in his career? It couldn't have been that many, right?
I mean, you probably could have counted him on one hand.
That's crazy.
So he gets thrown out last night, and
it's
basically
salty.
All but wrapped it up for the Rockets. We knew it was already over, but they lose to the Bucks last night. He gets thrown out before the first half is over in his first game back after being out all that time with the cracked rib.
Yeah.
And they toss him, and then they go, would you do it all over again? Well, I wouldn't get tossed, but no, maybe again, yeah, I would. And then on First Take this morning, Stephen A. Smith was sticking up for him and saying it was all the referee's fault.
It wasn't the referee's fault.
Guess what? Stephen A. had two people get back to him during the show and said, not only did he get the first one for cussing and calling the referee a bitch,
mm-hmm.
an effing bitch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he gets the first one. And then, oh, by the way, he goes back at the official and drops the N-word on top of effing bitch.
That'll get it for you.
And Stephen A. went, I stand corrected, and now I completely agree that he should have been tossed.
Yep.
He's got some issues now, man. I
think a lot of it is probably just frustration. Like you get the feeling that these guys thought it was going to be easier, and now they're experiencing some injuries. It's not as easy as it was. Teams are catching up to him, like the Rockets.
I think it's more so leaving OKC. I think he was so beloved while he was in OKC that he never saw this coming to this degree, that when he left OKC, he could be villainized. He could be an enemy. And people, he faced so much scrutiny and so many people just taking shots at him that he's kind of melted down to become a totally different person. And he's obviously very cynical.
Yep.
You never used to hear Kevin Durant swear. Now in almost every soundbite you get, he's cussing.
He's frustrated. I get it. I mean, you can see him. You see, it is a different side of him. But let's be real, dude. At some point, you get sick of it. And I think that Durant has had enough with the expectations, and he's catching a lot of heat. Remember, he had the social media faux pas where didn't he tweet himself or something like that? And then he was losing it with fighting some people.
Yeah. What do you call that? Your whatever account?
A ghost account or whatever.
Ghost account,
Yeah, it's definitely not the Kevin Durant that we were used to. It doesn't look like he's having fun anymore.
Well, because there's a lot of extra stress and pressure. And I really believe that. You know, ever since the whole OKC thing with calling him a cupcake, and then all of his Nike shoes have all these like clapbacks and secret meanings to him, you know, taking shots. Just do you. You know, you keep winning championships and you keep being talked about as one of the top two players in the league and doing the things you're doing, the rest will take care of itself. Word. LeBron survived the freaking announcement. The decision. Yeah. He took his talents to South Beach, and he survived that. KD can survive, too. You got your damn ring. Don't be happy.
Yep.
All right. We got a half hour to go in the big show, so we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to take you up till 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz will take you home as they take you till 7, and it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour, big show. Nick, Barry, Joel, all on a good Friday, an FEF Friday. And you know how we do here on The Usual Suspects. We were talking some baseball before the break. And
dude, Tim Kirchen.
ESPN.
He's hilarious. He gets so tickled at every little thing. He's always laughing, which I find.
Doesn't he seem like the nicest guy ever?
Yeah, he's just a good dude. He would be a guy you would want to hang out with, whether you're drinking or not, and just because you feel like you'd have a good time. But he was talking on the broadcast last night, and he was talking about music. And obviously, Tim Kirchen isn't a music savant.
Right.
Listen to what he says about some of today's current and former artists in music.
Was this where you and Pitbull got tight last year?
Right here. I was a witness of watching Tim.
That was the mischievous Adnan ambushing me again, telling Pitbull, your greatest fan is standing right over here. So over came Pitbull, who gave me this complicated handshake, which I couldn't even figure out. And thank goodness he didn't ask me what's my favorite song of his, because I didn't even know who he was.
You have to spend a little bit more time with me here in Miami.
I need to get out of the house a little bit more. I think that's fairly obvious.
Just update the playlist a little bit, too. You need some DJ Khaled on there.
I wasn't sure who he was. I thought Leonard Skinner was a guy. I thought his name was Len. I didn't know it was a band. I thought Jethro Tull was a guy instead of a band. And this is really bad. For a very short time in my life, I wasn't sure if Kanye West was a man or a woman.
Oh, my God!
Isn't that great?
Fantastic.
I mean, the fact that he thought Leonard Skinner and Jethro Tull were dudes is hilarious in and of itself. But then the fact that for a very short period of time, he wasn't sure if Kanye West was a man or a woman. Does Kanye sound like a woman's name?
I think he's never heard him talk or
he had just heard the name, right?
He just heard the name, yeah. Because, I mean, look, and it's hard to not at least hear Kanye West talk.
Yeah.
Because in pop culture, he's always somewhere with Kim and the two of them to know what he looks like, and you could bet you've heard him talk before, but that's crazy.
Yeah, the Kirsten dude, he's a blast, man. He's a funny dude.
He just seems like such a legitimately good guy. Like, I've makes the Palillo noise, and you laugh.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about him and say he's one of the good ones. Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Danny. He just hit me up on Twitter. He said, "Barry, you weren't lying about Cowboys and Indians. Heat burger, quesadillas, butter chicken, all out of this world. Kudos." Well, thanks for going, Danny, and thanks for letting me know, man. Always good to see.
Absolutely. Do you think he had them all at one time?
Yeah, that's what I tell people, man.
Do you think Danny ate all of that in one sitting?
I do. At the very least, somebody else got like the butter chicken.
Yeah,
they split the quesadillas, and he had the burger.
Yeah,
which is the thing to do when you go there. Definitely
kind of
make
it like
what do they call
buffet
that?
Style?
Yeah, what does they call that when everyone is eating off the same like dish? There's a name for that,
yes,
right?
There is tapas.
No, I don't know
it's
what
tapas
the hell it is.
Style because tapas is like where you just get hors d'oeuvre size and everybody shares.
Is that what it's called?
I think so, because Buca di Beppo, I think, is one of those tapas-style restaurants.
But I know, like you go, you know, to, like,
someone's
a Chinese
going
food
to,
restaurant.
As we speak, someone is texting to is. Not just tell us, but correct us, I guarantee you.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
In a very, I'm sure, complimentarily soft-served sell way.
No doubt about
not
it.
Not going to happen.
So, if you're the Texans, are you giving Jadeveon Clowney $114 million?
We talked about this, man. What does it average out to per year? Because, you know, he wants to be, according to John Gruden and others, he should be the highest paid non-quarterback in football. And then people were insinuating maybe he should be in quarterback kind of money. If OBJ isn't,
yeah.
Clowney is.
Well, SpotTrack has him listed. They say his market value, just based on others and similar performances, statistics, and everything else. They say that Jadeveon Clowney's market value is in the neighborhood of 6 years, $99 million. So they're saying he's worth about $100 million. That's his market value.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, according to reports, that he wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL, which means he would be making more than Von Miller. Von Miller makes $114.3 million a year. Do you think Jadeveon Clowney is worth Von Miller money?
I do not.
I'm with you. I think that he is. I'm sorry. Ndamukong Suh makes 114.3. Miller makes 114.1.
Well, it's over now.
Yeah, but that was the 114.3 and 114.1 were the two. So yeah, Von Miller now at 114.1 is the highest paid. I know 9.5 sacks and all that. But what he's done, is he dominant on the field? Yes, but I don't think he's done enough to warrant that kind of money. I mean, you gave that money to a guy already in J.J. Watt. He's not, to me, the production hasn't been nearly what J.J. Watt has been. Has he even come close to winning Defensive Player of the Year?
No, and that's what I was going to say.
Why are you going to give a guy money based on potential? That's the dumbest thing you could do.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. For the last year or so, he's stepped up to start living up to the potential that you've always had for this guy. But the first couple of years, it was a lot of underachieving, a lot of injuries, a lot of things where you were just like, eh. Look, this team was, remember what a big deal it was when they finally made him put a hand in the ground and start using, you know, the five technique and all these different things that you didn't think he was ever going to have to do and he never should do. And then we were hearing that part of the reason they were doing it was to see if they could piss him off and maybe he'd want to go, or all these different things were out there. He's stepping up. He's starting to perform. But based on other contracts this team has and other needs that they have to fill, I don't think you should be overpaying for this guy right now based on a short sample size of quote-unquote greatness.
Well, SpotTrack has him listed as an outside linebacker, and that's part of the – and I heard Lance on the way in. He had a great point about, well, what do you – is he an outside linebacker or is he an edge rusher?
Right.
And his point was, well, I mean, the easy way to figure that out is, what did he take more snaps at? Is his hand in the ground or is he standing up? That's a great point by our own Lance Zierlein. So I pull it up. I pulled up the salary rankings for outside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller at 114, Justin Houston at 101, Chandler Jones at 82. If you wanted to slot him in there between Jones and Houston, give him 100, give him 90, give him 95. But that $114 million is a lot. And to go above that and not get the production out of him, because in coverage, he's all right. He's not great.
Right.
But as a pass rusher, he's all right, but 9.5 sacks is the most he's ever gotten.
I get it. You got to keep him. And I, you know, and again, but for a lot of reasons.
He's not going
to
settle.
The thing is, yeah, well, he said he wanted to play his whole career here in Houston, but that doesn't,
well, that doesn't
cover
mean
whether
he's going to
give a hometown discount. Yeah. Right. And other teams are going to throw money at him. So, you know, with as much as you're already paying JJ on that side of the ball, and like I said, and they still got plenty of salaries and things to be dealing with, I don't know that they can go break the bank on this.
Yeah, because you figure, okay, if he's an outside linebacker, Von Miller at 114, Houston at 101, and Jones at 82, right? Mm-hmm. Then you say, all right, well, let's say we classify him as an edge rusher. This might be what the Texans want to do, because the highest paid edge rusher is J.J. Watt at $100 million. Second is Olivier Vernon at 85. Now you're talking. Can you get Jadeveon Clowney for 90, 95? Absolutely, that would make sense. Well, I'm saying the SpotTrack said that their estimation was 16 and a half over 6 years, which puts him at 99. I think that's reasonable.
That's more than fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to go above 114?
Nope.
That seems like a lot.
Breaking news out of the NFL, too. John Gruden, maybe the effect on this one as well. But the man who has always been so vocal as just a punter, but has been a damn good punter, Marquette King, released by the Raiders today.
Mm.
Gruden is shaking things up over there.
Yeah. He used to talk really well about King, too, on the broadcast.
Yeah, and this was a guy that, you know, more than just a punter, and he always had a personality. And, you know, I like that guy. That guy right there, he's got spunk. I like that guy. Well, you didn't like him that much because you just
not
cut
anymore.
Him.
Not anymore.
All right, well, we got one segment to go in the big show, but before we do that, I want to tell you about my good friends at Falbo Brothers. They are located at Highway 59 in Sweetwater Boulevard in Sugarland. I'm telling you, we've all had it here. We love it. Nick and I live out that way, and we believe in Falbo Brothers pizza for a reason. It's fantastic. Whether you go to the deep dish like I do, Chicago style, or you go to the hand-tossed, they have it all right there. They have all fresh ingredients. They got great pizza ovens so that it comes out fresh every single time, and it is tasty, and it is good. They also have stuffed pizza if you really want to go with that cheese overload like people from Wisconsin tend to do. Definitely check them out for that as well. These guys were born and raised in the Midwest, and they did Chicago style pizza the right way with restaurants in Chicago. Now they're taking it to Houston, Texas. You got to check them out. They deliver within a 4 mile radius of their location in Sugarland, but you can check them out on the web and then also order for takeout. They do have a small dine-in place, but either way, it's great pizza. That's 281-240-4779. If you want to order and pick it up, also check them out at FalboBrothersPizza.com. That's Falbo, B-R-O-S, pizza.com. 4779 Sweetwater Boulevard in Sugarland. You mentioned ESPN and or me, and you will get a good discount on your order. But I'm telling you, deep dish, stuffed, they do it all. They do it the right way. Like I said, fresh ingredients in a pizza oven is the way to go. Check them out. Try them. Tell them I sent you by. You won't be disappointed.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. Jong has come in, so he is working today, I guess. He's not working in the office per se, but he will be producing the Blitz. His lovely bride to be is here.
Is the Blitz working?
I don't think
he did a line test, so I'm assuming they're on remotes.
Oh, they are on remote. I heard Fred say that they are okay. Definitely. They broke in the new set yesterday here, and now they are there on location somewhere today.
Very good.
But John will be here in studio. If you missed the Calvin Murphy interview, he did say quite a few interesting things.
Yep, go back.
So it's on the go. You can get it on ESPN975.com. You can get it on podcast. You can get it off of Twitter at ESPN975.
Yep. Several people texted the show saying it was family style, is where you share food. And Lauren Pope also tweeting that OU Mike wants to talk about dining. I'm guessing this is going to involve Johnny Weir and meatballs.
I heard Joel talking about dining etiquette, and he was at a loss for words. I think he was talking, want to call it Gentleman's Club, where they have dining there, but the meat, you have to, there's A and B grade, or what they call Hep C in the gentleman's club era. But there's a champagne room, and I believe they serve pie in there, but for some reason, for etiquette, you know, you're not supposed to eat the pie in the champagne room or something like that. And I've been told that sometimes they serve crab in there also. I just wanted to clear that up.
Thank you so much for clearing that up, oh, you Mike. Yes.
Talk about scatterbrained. He's just like all over the place.
I'm with him, though. You never want to eat the crabs at a strip club.
What
if you go to a strip club buffet, you never want to get the crab. And yeah, well, if you can eat the pie, probably not. Probably the pie is probably that's the best way to. It's probably been handled a lot. You don't want to eat a pie that's been handled a lot. You know, you want a fresh pie out of the oven. You want the pie. You want it to still have some.
You just keep going. Just keep going.
I'm just saying, old.
You need a tongue-dom instead of a condom if you're going to eat.
Oh, God. You need a dental. You definitely want to eat with a dental dam, for sure.
Yikes. Thanks, Mike, for all of that. That was a mouthful. Oh, boy. And look, all of our friends of the show are chiming in. Troy from somewhere, destination unknown, coming in. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What up, player?
Happy Friday.
Same to you, bud.
You too, my friend.
Hey, I got a question for you. So I know the Rockets have got quite a bit of basketball still played to get to where they want to be. And I know we still got a whole baseball season in front of us. But you got to think, has there ever been a back-to-back city championship?
There have been cities that have had champions in multiple sports during the same year.
Right, back-to-back.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last one. The Patriots and the Red Sox were one of the last ones. Patriots and the Red Sox, and again, that's Boston proper, but people say, you know, Gillette Stadium and all that, for being Foxborough, is definitely a suburb of Boston, per se. But there's definitely been cities in which you've had different sports having champions at the same time, but it doesn't happen, you know, all that frequently. But yeah, definitely it's happened before.
Let's go Astros and Stros.
You got it.
You guys have a good weekend.
You too, brother.
All right. Good talk to you. Bye-bye.
You gonna look that up?
What?
Well, I thought you were giving me a puzzle.
No, I'm looking for an ATM. I gotta go stop and get some money after the show. I'm not looking that up. I'd take your word for it.
That's good. Now people are gonna wait for you in the parking lot and follow you to the ATM.
Well, I gotta check that balance. They may not want to wait that long. Did you this story about the hockey goalie? I love it. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, I saw it last night and thought it was something, and then was reading even more about it this morning and thought it was even more fantastic. But you want to take it?
Yeah, go ahead. You posted it in the rundown. I'll let you have the honors.
No, I put it on there because this is the kind of thing that normally happens. This is like a movie cut type thing, but it normally doesn't happen, obviously, with the minor leagues in baseball and the G League in basketball and everything that you have to go through in football, that it's a Cinderella story. But in hockey, it can still happen. And last night for the Chicago Blackhawks, they were having a game and they were experiencing goalie issues. They've had some serious injuries to some of their goalies, some nagging injuries in other ways. So they had an emergency goalie kind of on standby, a guy by the name of Scott Foster. He's an accountant. You know, he played college hockey, but he's been removed from his college hockey days. But he said he used to go to the games, and he normally goes to the game and watches in the press box in street clothes, and thought it would just be another night like that. But then as a 36-year-old accountant, he signed a contract, put on his goaltender gear, and waited in the Chicago Blackhawks locker room. And lo and behold, last night was his night. He got called into the game. He was pressed into action because Chicago lost both of their goalies to injuries. And the former college goalie stopped all 7 shots he faced over the final 14 minutes. And the Blackhawks got a 6-2 victory over the playoff-bound Winnipeg Jets. He was named the star of the game by the Blackhawks.
That's crazy.
That is movie material, people.
That is the equivalent of you getting laryngitis at 3:15. And then Nick and I going, "Hey, Juggalo Trey, grab the mic, you're up." And then Juggalo Trey comes in, and it's the highest rated 45 minutes in the history of sports talk radio in Houston. It's that good.
And no doubt. This is the weird part. And I was not aware of this factor. When you talk about a 36-year-old guy, you think that maybe if he was a little younger.
Right.
And
right,
all this other stuff, right? So he's the 36-year-old with a job as an accountant. That's crazy. Is what I wasn't aware of. He's part of a crew of recreational goaltenders who staff Chicago's home games in case of emergencies for either team. So essentially, what it comes down to is we get a press pass, we get in the press box, we get a nice dinner, and we get to watch the world's best players compete at hockey's highest level. And then a moment like this happens where they literally yank him out of the press box.
You can do that in hockey?
I guess you can
sign
him. So
you don't have to be on the
like the rights
roster
to him in the
or whatever.
Farm system
yeah,
or anything
what is
like
that,
that
about? You could just pull it.
That's what I said. I never
it's
knew
like
this.
Aggies getting a guy to play football out of the stands.
So literally, we could all say, and all of us could say, you know what? We're all goaltenders from back in our day in hockey.
Yeah.
And probably get press passes a lot easier than what we get them for other sports talent.
If I live in Chicago and I love hockey, I'm going to join that thing.
I think we should let the Astros know that we're still emergency catchers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to, before we leave, because I know we got to go, I wanted to update everybody. This is very important, and I know it's a big, it's everybody's been waiting for this, but the curse word bracket challenge, the final four voting is over, and I timed it so that it would end today. So going into the weekend, we've got the F word versus the MF word. That is the finals. Not a big shock, really.
Nope.
Not a big shock, but the F word beat the word for kitty cat. And MF-er beat the C word, the other word for kitty cat. Not the nice one, though. So, yeah, it looks like the finals. I'll have the winner on Monday, April 2nd. You'll be able to vote all weekend. That area is funny. But, yeah, that's the F word versus the MF word in the inaugural 2018 Curse Word Bracket Challenge.
Will you be glued to your computer screen watching it unfold?
I will be refreshing every 5 minutes between now and 3:50 April 2nd, because that's when we're going to announce the winner.
Outstanding.
We're going to say it. I'm going to say it. And I know we're on remote. I don't care. I'm saying it. I'm saying it anyways. And Nick's going to have to dump it.
Nick is going to have a whole lot of fun with that one.
He's not. He's going to hate me because I'm going to say the curse word.
Whoever
on the
wins
remote.
His bracket challenge, Nick, of curse words, he's going to say it on the air.
Yeah, I'm going to say it all week.
No, you're not.
Sneak it in on you. Well, especially when you're not paying attention.
No,
just,
you're not.
I'm going to just knock that out.
I only have to dump Derek Lewis 5 times. I'm not dumping you.
I'm surprised. I think it happened more than that. That dude, yeah. he thought he was on XM
S-bomb
radio.
S-bomb after S-bomb.
That was awesome.
That was funny.
All right, go. App area is funny. I'm going to start the voting now. Go.
All right, go Astros. Have yourself a happy Easter weekend. April
if that's
Fool's
your thing.
Day.
If that's your
all
thing.
All that. Yeah, the Blitz is at Sam Houston Race Park. So AJ and Fred are out there. Jong thankfully came in here. He'll be manning the fort. His lovely bride-to-be has been in tow, so that's great. He has more fun for the show. And we'll talk to you again Monday from 500 Crawford as we get to look at what opening day looks like from afar.
Don't get me started.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Screw
we'll
you,
see
Astros.
You Monday, ESPN 97.5.